There are times when we study the Bible that the Bible leaves us with many, many questions, and yet there are no answers to those questions. Take, for instance, this particular question. What happened to Joseph, the human father of Jesus? We know Joseph existed. We know that he was there when Jesus was born into this world. We know that he was a carpenter. We know that he trained Jesus to be a carpenter, but we know very little about the man. What happened to him? How did he die? Where did he go? We have absolutely no answers to those questions. Now, there is an answer. It's just the fact that the Bible doesn't give us an answer. Now, the same could happen with our question and answers on our first Sunday of each month. It could be that you ask me a question and I would have to stand up here and say something like this: the Bible doesn't give us an answer to that question. Well, we could get through three questions real quick that way, couldn't we? But most of the time, when you ask your questions, we can go into the Bible and we can study it, we can learn it, and usually there are answers to those questions, aren't they? And we do our best to give a Bible answer to those questions every first Sunday of the month. And guess what? That is this morning. Questions and answers, according to you, the best lesson of the month. So we get it out of the way, and then the rest of them just get worser and worser and worser. We got three questions that we're going to be answering in this particular study. The first question is an interesting question, and I don't know that it's really the best question to start a Sunday morning lesson with. What is the definition of Satan, demons, devils, and evil spirits? We're supposed to be here to worship God. And here we are going to talk about demons and devils and evil spirits. But a good question, isn't it? Who is this Satan? And who are these devils and demons and evil spirits about which the Bible speaks? Well, the first one's simple, isn't it? We all know exactly who Satan is. Satan is the archenemy of God. He is the archenemy of the people of God. I didn't start in the Old Testament, but I could have. I started in the New. And the reason I did is because we open up the New Testament and Jesus is baptized and then he is immediately driven into the wilderness by the Spirit, and the Bible says to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. From the very opening chapters of the New Testament, we see this battle raging between Satan and the Son of the living God, don't we? Jesus, in the parable of the wheat and tares, talks about a good man who goes out into his field and he sows good seed, does he not? Matthew 13, verse 24. And then he goes home and he sleeps. And while he is sleeping, the text says that an evil man enters in and sows bad seed into that field. Again, we see this battle going on between the good and the evil, between our Lord Jesus Christ and the devil, who is sowing as much seed as he can possibly sow in this world. Satan was actively involved in the activities of the crucifixion, wasn't he? In John 13, verse 2, the Bible says that Satan entered into the heart of Judas. Satan was there, and he was working, and he was doing everything he can do to rid the earth of this being called the Son of God. If he's taken on flesh, if I can just kill him, I can get rid of him. And he did all he could do to rid the world of God's Son, didn't he? Jude reveals how Michael, an archangel of the Almighty God, disputed and contended with the devil over the very body of Moses, according to Jude 9. Revelation chapter 12, we see a war in heaven, don't we? And there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought the great dragon, and the dragon fought. Now listen to this, and his angels. Over and over and over again in the pages of God's Word, there's this battle that rages between good and evil, between right and wrong, between God and Satan himself. Satan, my friends, is the arch enemy of God and mankind. And he is still at work today, isn't he? Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is just as active today as he was at the hill of Calvary. And my friends, he longs and he yearns to destroy your soul. But who are these demons, these devils, and these evil spirits about which the Bible speaks? There are two possible answers to that question. The devil definitely has his angels, doesn't he? Just a moment ago we read Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And the Bible says that the dragon fought and his angels. Those angels are spirit beings. They are created beings who fell from their original habitation in heaven. They followed after the rebellion of the devil against God. They were cast out in chains, reserved into darkness for the judgment of the last day. And now they serve the evil one. Jesus talked about these angels, didn't he? He said that there's a place called hell that's been prepared for the devil and who? His angels. Matthew 25, verse 41. So there are spirit beings who are wicked, who are vile, who are evil, who are the servants of the evil one, the devil's angels. But there is also another category of individuals who possess wicked spirits. There are wicked men who live on the earth, aren't there? And those individuals will die in their wicked state. And when they die, the spirit separates from the body. And their spirits enter into a realm that is referred to as Hades. And in that Hadean realm, there are two compartments. One known as Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort. The other is referred to as torments, a place of punishment and a place of misery. We see a wicked man, don't we? Die and enter into that place in Luke the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 22b. And the rich man also died and was buried. Now note this, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. This particular man is contrasted with another man by the name of Lazarus, a poor man, a beggar, who laid at the gate of this rich man and was never fed, never cared for, never helped by the rich man. Lazarus enters into a place of comfort at his death. But not the rich man. He enters into a place called Hades. My friends, that little place, hell, is Hades in the original text. It's the unseen realm of the dead. And evil spirits reside in that place called torments until the time of resurrection and final judgment. How do we know that? Because the Bible teaches that, doesn't it? During the ministry of Jesus and the apostles, there were individuals living here on the earth, and all of a sudden they would be inhabited by an evil spirit, a demon, a devil. And the question is, who are these demons, devils, and evil spirits who entered into these individuals? The King James Version refers to them as devils. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. The newer versions, however, always use the term demons. Take, for instance, the English Standard Version in that same verse. King James Version, devils. English Standard Version, demons. But the Bible also speaks of evil spirits. The King James Version talks about evil spirits four times inhabiting the bodies of human beings while on earth. The question is, who are these evil spirits that inhabited these bodies in the first century? And there's only two answers to that. There are some individuals who believe that the demons are the spirits of evil men who were released from the Hadean realm in the first century and inhabited the bodies of certain individuals on earth. Wicked spirits released from the unseen realm of the dead. There are other individuals who believe that they were nothing more than these evil spirits, angelic beings, servants of Satan who entered into the bodies of men in the first century. So the question is this: who is right? Were they the spirits of evil men released from the Hadean realm, or were they the spirits of the devil's angels? I believe, after studying and reading and contemplating, that these were the spirits of the devil's angels who entered into these individuals. Now somebody might say, how do you know that? Let me give you a couple of points. Number one, there is absolutely no indication whatsoever in Scripture that anyone who has died and gone to the place of torments in the unseen realm of the dead, who has ever been released therefrom. If you think that has happened, it is because you assume that to be the case. And we could talk about that for a few minutes if we needed to, but we won't. Notice the next one. The angels fell from heaven, and the Bible says that they were cast down, reserved in chains of darkness, unto what? Unto the judgment. When Jesus comes in contact with these demonic spirits in the first century, two things are interesting. Number one, they immediately know who He is. And then the second thing is, they are always curious and wanted to know something and ask Jesus about that something. I've given you an example there in Matthew, the 8th chapter. Jesus comes in contact with the demonic spirit, and notice what He says. What have we to do with Thee, Thou Jesus, the Son of God? They immediately know exactly who Jesus is, don't they? But notice that question that they ask. Art Thou come hither, listen to Him, to torment us when? Before the time. My friends, these angelic spirits that fell from heaven, who are cast down, reserved in chains of darkness, know exactly what their latter end is, don't they? They know that hell has been prepared for the devil and his angels, and one of these days He will cast them into that torment. When they saw Jesus in the first century, what was the question they asked? Are you here to torment us before the time? That makes me think that they are angels and not evil spirits who had already been where? In torments, suffering. These individuals have not been suffering yet. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 34, Satan is referred to as the prince of who? The prince of the devils, the demons. That seems to be a group of individuals, spirit beings, who are separate and apart from humanity and over whom Satan rules and reigns. James 2 verse 19, Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. Listen to him. The devils, the demons also what? Believe and tremble. Those evil angelic spirits. They believe there's a God. They know there's a God. They'll even confess that he is God. But those individuals are lost. James seems to be referring to a group of individuals separate and apart from man. Evil spirits, angelic beings inhabiting bodies in the first century. Wow. The devil no longer inhabits the bodies of human beings. Now, there are people in our world who, when they hear that, would go crazy. You know that? Not long ago, I heard a man. Many of you would know him, John MacArthur. He died not long ago, a denominational preacher. And they asked him, does demon possession still exist? And he says, oh yes, it's just a matter of degree. Just a matter of degree. Folks, there is no demon possession anymore. The age of miracles has ceased. If we can't cast them out, then they are not inhabiting bodies today. But that doesn't mean that we are not doing battle with evil forces, does it? Because the Bible plainly teaches that we are. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil and his angels are at work in our lives doing everything they can do to make our lives miserable and to cause us to lose our souls ultimately. Question number two, and this is, I've never even thought about this question until it was asked, and that happens all the time. How about this one? Has anyone ever gone to hell and was pardoned and resurrected from hell? Have you ever thought about that? I never thought about that. So guess what? I had to think about that. Let's talk about it for just a minute. Based on the teaching of Luke 16, 19 through 24, I do not believe that anyone has died and gone to hell yet. Okay? Yet. We just talked about this a moment ago. Lazarus, the beggar, died. And where did he go? The Bible says he went to Abraham's bosom. I find it interesting. It doesn't say he died and went to heaven. He went to Abraham's bosom. A place of comfort. The rich man dies, doesn't he? The Bible says, and in hell, Hades, the unseen realm of the dead, he lifts up his eyes, being in torments. It doesn't say that he went to Gehenna. Gehenna hell is eternal hellfire. So we have one man in comfort, we have one man in torment. And what's interesting is this. That rich man could look across and see who? He could see Lazarus resting in the bosom of Abraham. But you see, there was a great gulf between the two areas, weren't there? And no one could go from one place to the other. Those in the land of comfort could not go into the land of torment. Those in the land of torment could not go into the realm of comfort. A great gulf was fixed there. Now, my friends, when Jesus returns, all of that is going to change. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 13, and what? And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell, that's Hades, gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to his works. When Jesus comes again, he will take all those individuals who are in the unseen realm of the dead, whether it be in the land of comfort or in the realm of torments, and they will all be brought to judgment, every man according to his works. And it's for that reason that I say this, no one has ever been resurrected from hell. Why? Because ain't nobody gone there yet. Not one person. But let's think about this. Of all those who have been resurrected, Have any of them ever been resurrected from the place of torment in the Hadean realm? There are 9 cases of resurrection in the entirety of the Bible. 9 cases. Now, one of those cases involved a lot of people. When Jesus was resurrected from the grave, the Bible says that there were many who came out of their graves and appeared to those who were in the city of Jerusalem. Well, that'd be a scary thing, wouldn't it? Buried your dead brother last week, now he's knocking on the door a week later. That'd be a scary thought. But there's 9 cases of resurrection. Now think about that. Out of those 9 cases, was anybody from the Hadean realm, the part called torment, released therefrom and brought back to earth? Never thought about it. As I looked at all 9 examples, there were only 2 that we might have question about with regard to where they went upon their deaths, because the Bible doesn't tell us much about these 2 individuals. One of them was a man who was cast into the tomb, the grave of Elijah, and immediately came back from the dead. The other was the widow of Nain's son, an older individual who had died, and Jesus went over to that bier, that casket, and raised him from the dead, did he not? Did those 2 men die and enter into that place called torments? I don't think so. And the reason I say that is based upon the other 7 cases. There is not one individual who has ever been released from that realm called torments. The other 7 cases, all of them, it is clear that those individuals died and they would have gone into the realm of comfort. And it is only from that place that anyone has been resurrected from the dead. But here's what's really interesting. Not one person who has ever been resurrected from the dead came back to this earth and talked about it in such a way that the Holy Spirit recorded those words in the pages of this book. That's interesting, isn't it? You got a man by the name of Lazarus, the friend of Jesus. He died. For 4 days, he was in the Hadean realm, in Abraham's bosom, and Jesus came back and resurrected him from the dead. Wouldn't you like to talk to Lazarus? Hey, Lazarus, come here. What did you do down there? What was it like to be in Abraham's bosom? What was it like to not have a body and be in total comfort down there? I'd be asking him all kinds of questions, wouldn't you? We don't have one recorded word at all from Lazarus about his resurrection, about his death, about his experience in the unseen realm. And that's true of all 9 cases of resurrection. Question 3. Who are we going to be supporting during the month of October with all of the money that we contribute over budget? We've been doing this for about the last 4 years, folks. And this congregation has always responded well to any requests that we've made. We've contributed anywhere from $40,000 to $100,000 over budget the last 4 years. That's unbelievable, isn't it? So who are we going to be supporting next month? We're going to be supporting the work in the Philippines. And we've been supporting this work for the last 4 or 5 years. The couple who is involved in that work are a couple known as Michael and Deborah Stock. They've been here, they've talked about that work to us, haven't they? They haven't been here probably in about 3 or 4 years or so. And he's itching to come. He asked me, man, when can I come? And hopefully next year we'll be able to schedule him and he'll be able to come and talk about the work some more. Here is the location of the Philippines. It is located southeast of China. It is located north of Australia, right out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, isn't it? The Philippines are situated in what is known as the Western Pacific Ocean, and there are 7,640 islands that make up the nation of the Philippines. Ooh-wee. Could you imagine just taking an island a week? It'd take you a long time to cover all those islands, would it not? Now, not all of them are inhabited. It is known as, and can you say that word? I can't say it either. Archipelagic region. All that means is this. It is a country made up of islands. Just like Hawaii is a state made up of islands. The Philippines are named for a Spanish individual, Philip II. Who lived and reigned in 1543. The official name of that particular country is this, the Republic of the Philippines. Notice that population, 109 million. One-third the population of the United States of America. The capital is Manila. Looks worse than New York, doesn't it? That is one packed city right there. The capital of Manila. The government is a unitary presidential republic. It is somewhat similar to the United States of America, although there is quite a bit of socialism that is practiced there. The Philippines is composed of many ethnic groups. They speak 182 languages. That's why you don't travel much over there. Two main languages: Filipino and English. That's why Kevin's doing so good over there right now. Well, there's two reasons he's doing good. He can talk the language and he can eat the food. Two major religions, Catholicism and Muslim. And that's sad, isn't it? That those are the two major religions. Why isn't Christianity on the top of that list? It's not even the top religion. Okay? I realize some may say, well, Catholicism's Christianity. Well, you need to do some study, don't you? The Stocks began their work full-time in the Philippines in May of 2012. They've been there 13 years now, a little over. They're in their 14th year now. Their main focus is one of the islands that is known as Bohol, B-O-H-O-L. I contacted Michael and Deborah last week and I said, hey man, give me some up-to-date information on your work that's going on. So he did. So all of this is within 1 week as far as the information being given to me. He says this, in 2024, they conducted the sixth church planting in Carmen Bohol. That means right there on that one island, they've planted six churches since they've been there. They've done eight total in the Philippines since they've been there. After 1 year, the church in Carmen has 21 members. That's not too bad, is it? For a brand new planting. All the congregations continue to grow, continue to add individuals. Notice this next one. We continue our mentoring program as well, training young men to be preachers, training them to be elders. And he says that there have been at least three that they have converted who have attended preacher training schools. They're in a process of building a building in, can you say that word? Tablagarian. Something like that. It's tough, isn't it? Kevin can just rattle this stuff off. Marilyn can too. There's their building. Isn't it beautiful? last year when we were talking about this, they hadn't even begun. They had a small lot that's there, and they said they're going to start building it. They started this year. They hope to have it finished by the end of this year. There's the interior of the building. And there's another shot of the building on the side. So they're slowly but surely getting a building put in place for them to worship. Right now they worship in houses and other things. Now they'll have a beautiful building that they can worship in. Now notice, it's not nearly as fancy as ours, is it? No air, no padded pews. Well, we couldn't hardly worship over there, could we? But they are glad to get that building. He said the Lord continues to bless the work. 57 souls were added to the body of Christ last year. 57 baptisms. Just this year, there have been 39 individuals who have obeyed the gospel. And since their arrival in May of 2012, 1,100 souls have been baptized into Christ. Folks, it's a wonderful work, isn't it? A wonderful work. And that's who we're going to be supporting during the month of May. Three questions we've looked at, haven't we? What's the definition of Satan, devils, demons, and evil spirits? Question number two, has anyone gone to hell and been pardoned and resurrected therefrom? And then the third one, who are we supporting in the month of October? Three major lessons. Number one, Satan, demons, devils, and evil spirits are real, and my friends, they are our enemies. Don't mess with them. Number two, all individuals who die await final judgment, don't they? In one of two places in the Hadean realm, either in Abraham's bosom or in that place called torments. Right now, you and I are living in such a way as to go to one of those two places. And my friends, we will die unless our Lord comes before we do. We've also looked at this. The stocks are doing a good work, and they need as much of our support as we possibly can. I've already told him the support's coming. He's already told me how thankful he is for it. Now, all he's wondering is how much. Let's do him good and send him a big check. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a member of the body of Christ. We want you to be. It's not hard to be added to the Lord, is it? The Bible tells us that an individual has to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8:24. Repent of his sins, Luke 13:3. Confess the name of Jesus, Matthew 10:32. And then be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Paul says in Galatians 3:27. That's how to get into Christ. If you've not done that, we want you to do that this morning. Dear Christian, are you faithful, steadfast? Do you need to repent of sin? Do you need the prayers of this congregation? Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?
Have you been to Jesus for this cleansing power? Are you washed?